Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings, chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, it is not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messenger turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And he answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. You may be seated. Amen. Just for correction, that was 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Amen. This morning we want to talk about being persistent and having an issue. Being persistent and having an issue. Persistent means to hold firmly and steadfastly to a purpose or undertaking despite of the obstacles. When looking at the word issue, there can be and are many different definitions. An issue may be to dispute, a disagreement, something produced, a point of discussion, an outlet or a discharge of any kind. Most of the time, when there is an issue, not positive or good, you usually deal with it as soon as possible. This means with the issue, you will be persistent in trying to resolve it. Remember also, pursuing something can be good or it can be bad, depending on the issue and who the issue is with. There are two issues we want to look at: the issue of the king and the woman who had the issue of blood. Let's look at the king's situation first. Verse 1. Y'all with me? Verse 1, chapter 1 of 2 Kings. Okay. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahab was Ahaziah's father and was the king of Israel at that time. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. One writer says he fell from a window of his room. But as Ahaziah had an issue that needed attention. There are times in our life when we need help or attention. Amen. Amen. Men, let y'all get sick and see how quickly you need the attention of your wife. But we must make sure we seek the right help. Amen. Ain't used to be going to nobody else if I need some attention. Because the person I need to go to stays in the same house. When looking in the wrong direction, it can become an issue. Huh? How many of y'all know if I look to somebody else for some help, there'd be an issue between me and somebody? Just so you understand, you don't call a doctor if your house is on fire. When your power goes out, you don't need Mike Morse. I don't need the Bernstein advantage. I need God's. In order to get the right results, you call the right people. But in verse 3 it says, but the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, arise. Go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, it is not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. First, we need to know this. Ahaziah's father first was king of Israel, who was Ahab. When he died, he passed it on to his son, as most kings do. And I believe that this is where many churches are passed down to their sons. Or you pass a business down to the family so the family can take over. And we know Israel was God's chosen people. The one God delivered out of Egypt. In Exodus, God gave them the commandments and said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So you can see for a king to inquire of Beelzebub for help, that was not a good idea, but a slap in the face of God. Israel are the chosen, Israel are the ones, and he's king of Israel, but yet he gonna seek out help from Beelzebub. Seeking Beelzebub is like us seeking Satan for advice. Amen. The Bible says, cast all your care on him. He cares for you. Jesus told us, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that I'll do. Amen. He also said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Nowhere in the scriptures does God tell us to seek the face of Satan for help or deliverance. Amen. Let's read verse 3 and verse 4 now. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. You see, the king sent more than one messenger. Mm-hmm. and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? He was the king over Israel, who served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who God delivered from Pharaoh, who gave them the land that floweth with milk and honey. And he was seeking Beelzebub as if he had more skill and power than God. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. Saints, it is one thing to have an issue with anybody, but when that issue is with God, you've got a problem. That's serious. Verse 5 says, and when the messenger turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? The city of Ekron was not around the corner. The distance between this city and Samaria was great. This was not an overnight journey. So the king knew by them quickly returning, they had not reached their destination and they had not sought out who he said seek. You know how you can tell a child to go clean the room and they quickly return and said it's been done. So if in 15 minutes they come and say I'm done, you know something ain't right. You know, if they were supposed to make up the bed and change the sheets, something ain't right. So this is what they shared with the king when they came back. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, it is not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron. Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, it is Elijah, that Tishbite. The servants didn't know, but when they described him, the king knew exactly who he was. Some people, you know who they are anywhere they go. Amen. If they describe them, you know exactly who it is. It could be by their voice, the way they look, or how they act. There's different programs, even on television now, Name That Tune or Name That Voice. Or we can listen to somebody narrating something, and you can almost tell, I know who that is. If Morgan Freeman is talking, you almost know who he is. So, the question is, when someone describes you, what kind of character do they give you? Do people see you as a child of God or a child of something else? Y'all hear me now. Do they call you when they have an issue? Or are you the issue they call? It says in verse 9, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. All these soldiers, for just one man. Because of what he did or said to the messengers, The king sent 50 soldiers and the captain. He said, come down. Now, I don't believe he spoke with a soft voice. Usually, officers speak with authority and are not polite. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. That answers that question, right? But here's the thing. It answered his question, but he couldn't live to tell it. There is one thing for sure. The 50 soldiers may have been innocent in following orders. And usually in an army, you go and do what you are told, and you have no idea of why you're doing what you've been told. But because they were there, they may have been innocent. But because they were there, because they followed, they suffered the same punishment. I say that to say this. When you follow the wrong crowd or people, if they get into trouble, you and you're with them, you become an accomplice. Amen. Whatever their penalty, you may get the same penalty. Whether you are innocent or not. When I was at a previous church, there was a brother that I got close to, and he was in the ministry just as I. But one thing had happened to him before he got into the ministry. One of his so-called friends asked him to take him to the store, and he did. And while he sat there and waited on his friend to come out the store, his friend rushed out and got in the car and said, let's go. And he drove off, not realizing his friend had robbed that store. So when they caught his friend, they also got him. He had no idea. He was innocent. But because he was with the one who did wrong, they counted him as an accomplice. And innocent as he was, he had to go to jail. He served time in prison. But what I saw in that, even when he went, God gave him favor. The day that he went in to serve what he did not do, he was made a trustee. Able to do what others could not do. But point being is, be careful the crowd that you run around. Make sure who your friends are. Since these men were with the captain and under the king, they suffered the same punishment. Somehow, now saying, somehow the king got word his men got burnt. Did he stop there at the loss of 50? Nope. Verse 11, it says, again also, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Me, if I was the captain, and I heard the 50 were burnt up, even if I was one of the soldiers, I'd call in sick. I can't go. You know, I got this bad leg, and I can't make it. But this captain had the nerve to say, come down quickly. Don't just come down, you come quick. Did he know what happened to the first 50? Did he see the results of the first 50? I mean, Elijah was in the same place. Did he see some burnt rest or anything? Elijah didn't go nowhere. Same location. He was still at the same place as when they approached by the first king. But in verse 12 it says, and Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Nothing changes. Elijah says the same thing. And we see he's a man of God. But nevertheless, regardless, the king was persistent. And so was God. Did the king learn his lesson? Nope. What's going to run out first, saints? The king's soldiers or God's fire? Well, let's see. Verse 13. He sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains. He knew about it. Behold, there came fire from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s and their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. This captain, in spite of what the king said, humbled himself. He had more concern about his men and himself, and he saw who and what he was facing. A man of God. Let me say this. It is not like the second captain didn't know, or the king didn't get the report of what happened. And today, it is not like we don't know what's going on. It is not like we are not seeing the signs. Whether you want to admit it or not, this global warming is real. So are the hurricanes and the earthquakes, the fires, the floods, mudslides, sinkholes. These are signs and warnings of what is coming. Just like the birds and the animals get quiet before a storm, there's a storm brewing. We need to prepare and get ready. Look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, and you know what I like about it, God don't have to get off his throne. He told angel, you go and speak what has to be spoken. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. God is with us, saints. When God is on your side, you don't have to be afraid. It doesn't matter who he is sending you to. Just like he sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh. Just like he sent Isaiah to speak to Hezekiah. Even as he sent Elihu to speak to Job. God can send you to speak to anyone, including your children or your parents. And if he does, you are protected. So Elijah went and spoke to the king face to face. verse 16, again, he says, without changing anything. And he said the same thing, and he told the messengers that he told the messenger. He said unto them, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. When we go through something and it seems like nothing is happening, it is not because there's not a God. It is not because he does not hear. But make sure you are seeking the right face. And you are not asking amiss or out of your flesh. Sometimes issues linger when you go to the wrong people. Can I just give a simple example? A toddler can't tell you how to be a teenager. Now, my grandbaby Adeline cannot tell Austin how to be a teenager. It ain't gonna work. A teenager cannot tell you how to be a grown-up. You see, as Trey comes in right now, he can't tell Marcus how to be a man. Did y'all hear me? A spiritual issue cannot be answered by a natural person. Just like the king should not have sought out Beelzebub, we should not seek out Satan's for assistance. Amen. Amen. Now, let's look at an issue that was followed by a positive persistence. Look at Mark chapter 5. I believe I got this one right. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark explains it to me the best. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. How many of y'all know that's a long time to have an issue? And has suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now, I just want you to think about this. She got a problem, an issue. Things is going on in her body. And it's been going on for 12 years. And it's not like she didn't do anything, but she sought out the best that she knew how. And it cost her. She spent all that she had trying to get rid of this issue. And didn't get any better. It got worse. Verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. What she may have been saying, and we know this, is I have tried everything else and nothing worked. How many have been trying to resolve an issue that you got? And to no prevail, all has failed. She's saying, I heard of this man called Jesus. He has been known to heal people. I have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. If you have an issue, regardless of what it is, give Jesus a try. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Don't just half give. Give it all. When you go to the doctor, you tell them everything that hurts, don't you? You don't just tell them you got a stomachache. But if your head hurt, you tell her, my stomach and my head hurt. You give the doctor everything that he needs to know that he can cure anything that's wrong with you. Amen. So if that be the case, turn it all over to Jesus, regardless of what it is. Verse 29 said, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That plague. See, sometimes we don't know what's wrong with us. We need the right touch. This woman was determined. Even though there were many around her, just like a crowd at a concert, people pushing and pulling, she was persistent and was persuaded. Nothing was going to stop her from getting to him. She believed before she started to pursue him. She had already said in her mind and convinced, if I touch, I'll be healed. When you go to the natural doctor, you go in believing you will be healed. You go in believing that whatever it is that I have to do, it's going to be all right. In fact, we'd be more concerned with how much it's going to cost rather than what's it going to do. But we go in believing. If you don't go in believing, ain't use you going. She was persistent. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She spoke it into existence, what she believed and what she was going to do. And then she pursued it, touching his hem. She was not trying to reach his shoulder. She wasn't touching his hand, but the hem. Meaning she could not have been able to stand and walk. There was a crowd. Remember, the people were thronging him. A large group of people, meaning the crowd. I believe this shows a state of humility. She was at the feet of Jesus. She didn't care. She was determined to touch him, no matter what it took. What will it take for you to get what you need to be free? Let me give you the definition of persistence again. To hold firmly and steadfastly to a purpose. To undertake despite of the obstacles. Regardless of what it is that's trying to get in front of me, I'm going to be persistent and I'm going to get there. Don't let a what or a who tell you not to pursue. When Isaiah told Hezekiah he was going to die, Hezekiah became persistent in the prayers to God. If someone gives you bad news, be persistent with God. If the world can be persistent in what they do, why can't we be persistent for God? Whatever the obstacle that is standing in your way, whatever task you are undertaking, be persistent. Don't let God be an issue. But most of all, don't you be an issue for God. My time is up. I thank you for yours.